Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. I'm Helen Thorne.
And I'm Ellie Gibson.
And guess what, Ellie?
What?
We have the most fabulous guest. We have Rebecca Humphreys.
Yay!
Oh my gosh, in the flesh.
Here I am.
How are you, Rebecca Humphreys?
Oh, I'm so well. I'm enjoying my Prosecco. I'm having a lovely time.
Oh, you're very welcome. I mean, you brought the Prosecco. No, you brought the Prosecco.
I know, I actually did, but we got it free from a gig. So, but I put it in a recycled bag, so it looked like I'd made an effort. I hadn't, listener. I just had not.
That's the first I've heard of that. How generous.
I put it in like a gift bag so it made it look like I really cared, but you know.
You just don't.
Pulled it out of the fridge. That's how I roll. Now, Rebecca, we are absolutely thrilled you're on the Scummy Mummies podcast. You're an actress, a beauty blogger. Can I say that now?
I guess so, yeah.
Website.
I've got a website. I do a lot of it. So yeah. I suppose that is what I do.
You're a cat owner. You're a mummy of a cat.
I'm a cat mother. He is my baby too. I've got a new flatmate at the moment, and I've just moved into a new place. And you know that thing where you sort of know someone, you're getting to know someone new. I just want to be very impressive because he's a drag queen, so I want him to be my friend. And and I entered the house the other day thinking that no one was there and sort of spoke to my cat how I would speak to my cat when no one else could hear.
Mm. And, please tell me you're going, oh, lovely pussy. I love my pussy so much. I'm going to stroke my pussy right now.
Actually, you know, it was more pathetic because, you know, my baby... talking to my cat like it was my actual child, and sort of heard this voice go, "Aya!" from the kitchen. I was like, "Oh shit!"
What were you saying to the cat though? Put your shoes on. Put your shoes on. Don't touch that. You can't eat off the floor. Do you want a biscuit?
Basically.
If you're good, you can have an iPad. All right.
Oh, what's it like living with a drag queen? That sounds like my secret dream.
It's exactly as fabulous as it sounds. Oh. I mean. I love him. He's just fantastic. But yesterday I kind of got shuffled quite quickly out of the room where three of them were having a meeting because they had to choreograph a routine to It's Raining Men by Saturday. And I just was I was not welcome in that room.
And it's raining men. It's not raining Rebecca.
Yeah, quite. Yeah, it was, you know, along those lines. But it was sort of, I was just, you know, outside the door, kind of with a cup against the frame, trying to listen in, like, and trying sort of absolutely gagging to see what they were doing. It's sort of like living with a really wonderful girlfriend who can't wear my clothes.
Great, what's not to love?
Oh, now can you just go back and say, so the trowel is your beauty
website,
and you do it with this lovely woman called Claire.
Yes, Claire. And what we really, really disliked about the beauty industry is just all the bollocks surrounding it and all the crap that women get told. I mean, I'm from, you know, a really staunchly working class family in Norwich, and it makes me really, really sick how a lot of the beauty industry will literally just make up lies for women, like, and sort of sell aspirational values to women because they're sort of feeding off the fear of getting older or the fear of not being enough. Mm. And actually some of these brands that do that will charge 70, 80 quids for something that pertains to create a miracle. And we kind of wanted to go, look, let's just review stuff, all the products that we really like. Let's be really honest and say, this costs 70 quid. And yeah, it is actually really good. And it does kind of work. It doesn't do everything that it sets out to. But this is £7.99. And that sort of does more or less the same thing.
So can you, I'm putting you on the spot, but can you throw out some hero products? What are some good products we should buy?
Budget ones. For example, Elnett is the best hairspray.
Oh, we love Elnett.
NYX Matte Lip.
Oh, NYX. Products. Yes. Yeah, I've got one of those. They're nice.
They're really good. They're about $5.99. And they're a brand that I really love because I know that they're big in the drag community, which is always a good test because it means it stays on for shows.
And they
I was being polite.
But if you're feeling flush, are there any luxury products that are worth it?
A bit spoily, a bit treaty.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote the book on this. I'm so terrible for just. I'm a sucker for a luxury brand. I mean, my favourite thing is a face oil.
Oh.
Nothing quite so luxurious.
Nothing says luxury like a greasy face.
Like a big greasy face sitting in front of the telly.
Yeah.
Covered in grease. But
what's your favourite face oil?
I love a Clarins face oil. Oh. I love a Clarins Whirl Lotus face oil.
Right, let's get some oil.
I'm on a mission to get everyone oily faced.
So where is the trowel?
It's www.thetrowel.co.uk.
Now, can we talk about the thing?
Of course we can talk about the thing.
Is it all right to talk about the thing? Because I feel like I don't want to define you by the thing, but it's the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
And that elephant's name is Sean fucking Walsh. So you don't have to.
She's so bold, listener. She's so bold.
That was very bold. I thought you were going to say she's really come dancing. It's quite sharp.
If you don't want to, that's fine. But I feel like it's your story. Course. So do you mind, for anyone who doesn't know about the thing, do you want to explain the thing or do you want me to summarise the thing?
Of course I will, yeah. Of course I'll explain. I suppose so. I kind of rose to prominence, if you like, in the public eye last year because my now ex-boyfriend was on Strictly Come Dancing. You may have heard of it. And he was caught, he was papped in the street getting off with his dance partner. And it all came out in the sun because, you know, it would. And I made a statement on which I released on social media detailing actually some of the stuff that I knew would be missing from the tabloid media that I felt was really important because we'd broken up by that point and I kind of knew that there was a possibility that I would be represented in the media as someone, just some sort of hysterical woman that couldn't take the fact that her boyfriend was snogging someone else, so she left him. And actually there was more to it than that, and I thought it was really important to make it really clear.
When I saw those pictures of him snogging his partner in the street, I was shocked that he would even, that he would, like, do that. Because, like, if you're a bit famous, right, you know about the paparazzi. And if you're on Strictly, you must know about
that.
Oh,
they know about it. They actually get taken, like, when they first do it, they actually get taken into a room and told, have a media chat. Because he came home and told me about it. And he was like, oh, we all had to go into this room and have this big chat that the press are going to follow us every single place that we go.
Was he taking a piss when they said, and don't snog someone outside a fucking pub?
Well, like, you think it's a given.
But then I kind of thought, but that's odd, like, that he would let himself be photographed. It's one thing to do that, it's another thing to let yourself be photographed doing that. And then I read that it was your fucking birthday. Yeah. It was your birthday.
It was my birthday. I just knew it, you know. I was on the phone to Claire, actually, that night. I called Claire up, just absolutely in bits, you know. Oh. There I am at home having made dinner for two people. He's not coming home. He's not texting me. I haven't heard from him since about 10 in the morning, you know. As well, you know,
and you've been together, what, 5 years?
5.5 years,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay, and so this is not like you'd been with him for 2 weeks.
Yeah, you know, we're not mucking about. Yeah, no. We've been together 5 years. Mm. And, you know, we had a house and stuff. And I guess that, like, I guess on that particular evening, you know, I had to be honest and say that, like, nothing was specifically explicitly said that we were going to be doing anything. But at the same time, like, I've been really supportive of his Strictly career and his Strictly journey. Like, some would say overly supportive. Like, I made a fucking T-shirt for him that said, keep calm and listen to Katya. Like, you know, lol. And, like, I made, like, him a box, like, that had, you know, famous dancers from movies all over it. And, like, you know, a knee support and, you know, dancing socks. And, you know, I was really, really
on board. You were just being fucking nice.
I was being a nice girlfriend. Yeah. And then I suppose that actually he was spending a lot of time rehearsing. And I knew that, you know, he's not a natural dancer and I'm being polite.
really shit. He was so shit to watch.
So I was being really supportive of that. And I'm kind of a dancer as well. So I'm helping him, you know, in his downtime. I'm making sure that he doesn't go on television and humiliate himself. And you know, doing all these things to be nice. And then, of course, I get this message saying we're going for a drink. And that's at the point at which, like, oh, are you taking the piss, mate? Like, you're rehearsing, you know, for God's sake, in inverted commas, until whatever time every single night you're going on, it takes two, saying that I'm, you know, people are going, oh, and Zoe Ball's going, and apparently you're rehearsing more than any of the other contestants. No shit. And stuff. And suddenly when he goes, oh, I'm going for a drink, you know, that's when you get, you know, I felt really abandoned, you know, in that moment. And I'm on the phone to Claire saying, is this a thing? You know, I should be worried, shouldn't I? Like, this is not normal.
And you'd heard about the curse of Strictly and all that bollocks.
Of course, I'm a huge Strictly fan. Right. I'm a massive Strictly fan. And I'd be lying if I said that it hadn't crossed my mind, you know. And when I say crossed my mind, like actively vocalised it to Sean.
What did he say when you said that? You don't want to talk about
it? I was mental. Of course. But by which point, I was just so accustomed to that being a part of our relationship language that actually, I think we both were accustomed to that word and that kind of mentality being so embedded in our relationship that actually it didn't feel huge anymore. It didn't feel huge to be called that.
So it's because I've not experienced it, but from what I've read about it, it sounds like it feels like being in a loop almost. Like, so you get into the sort of habit of, oh, this is the role.
Yeah.
I'm the mental one. You're the sane one.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, and I
know,
you're questioning everything. You think you've got a feeling. And so many women talk about this. They know in their waters. They know in their bones something's not right.
And actually, it's a really interesting thing to think about in terms of taking responsibility for that. And it's something that I've really worked on. You know, I see a therapist. The Daily Mail ran this article saying Rebecca Humphreys in therapy after Sean Walsh thing, and I retweeted it with a thing saying, I've actually been in therapy for ages and I'm really not ashamed of it either. Like, it's not like she's had a breakdown. It's like, no, actually it's something that I do and that I think that like a lot of people could really benefit from and that I'm not afraid to talk about.
What's the alternative? Rebecca Humphreys is I don't know, drinking herself blind every night to try and forget about what a prick her ex-boyfriend is. Like, what? You can't win, right?
You know, you can't sort yourself out. But like, I'm actually, something that's really, you know, come out of this and something that I've discovered about myself is that I am actually really reasoned, and I was kind of led to believe and allowed myself as well. Like, I wasn't led by anyone. I allowed myself to you know, take that and get conditioned in that way to believe that I was completely unreasonable and that I was someone who wasn't particularly articulate, wasn't instinctive, you know, all of these things. And actually, I am all of those things. But I guess that one thing that me and my therapist have been talking about a lot is the notion of taking responsibility for, allowing myself to ignore my instincts. And I did have instincts. I knew when shit was going down and I chose to turn a blind eye to it. And
why do you think that was? Why did you do that?
Because at the time...
I sound like your therapist now.
No, yeah, tell me, Rebecca. Why would I do that? And I'm really conscious as well of like sort of answering quite quickly, and that it might, you know, I might not actually feel this way about that tomorrow. But in this moment, I suppose the answer is... I just believed that this was it. I believed that this relationship was it, that this was what was meant to happen. This was like my lot in life. And I really, really loved this person. Like,
you loved him and thought, yeah.
I really damn well loved him. And I thought
and you felt
that I understood him. I thought that I understood him and that he understood me on a totally, totally different level to that anyone else could understand. And, you know, people think that women... Not everyone thinks this. I think this is becoming like actually quite challenged at the moment. But I think people think that women who are in this position are quite weak. And that just isn't the case at all. And I used my own strength against myself, I think. I thought not every woman could put up with this, but I can. Mm. And I'm a strong person and I can actually handle this. I can cope with it. which is all bollocks. Like, I definitely couldn't. I definitely changed fundamentally, like, who I was.
Or even if you could, you shouldn't fucking have to. You shouldn't have to put up with
it. Yeah, well, that's something that, like, I totally didn't... It didn't even occur to me that that other people were having relationships that didn't involve this.
Wow.
Yeah. Because I didn't talk to my friends about it. I didn't tell them the truth of my relationship because on some level, I think I thought... that they would tell me to get out of there, get the fuck out of there and don't ever go back. And I was scared that they would do that. And I was absolutely right as well, because having spoken to all of them since, not, you know, they were all like, if I had known, I would have dragged you out of there. I was like, I know, that's why I didn't say anything. But because I didn't speak to any people really about what their relationships were like, I kind of didn't really know what a healthy relationship looked like, you know?
And I think that's so true of so many people. They're like... And even Ellie and I, when we're talking to, like, audience members or just women we've met along the way, they just think that that's the norm. And that really bad behaviour, oh, it's just a man thing, or, you know...
Absolutely.
I'll just put up with that, or, you know, he's nice sometimes, or, you know, all those kind of things. And it's just not okay.
And when that person... I mean, it wasn't, like... It's funny me talking about it now, because obviously, like, I know... like, the overriding thing is that it was not a good, healthy relationship. It was a really toxic relationship. But there were moments in that relationship that were really nice and that were really tender and loving and vulnerable. And I absolutely fed off those moments. Like, you know, and I would justify his actions so much because I knew that at some point... I hoped that at some point it would roll around and I would feel that way in the relationship again. And it always did. But that's called a cycle, you know?
Or a psycho.
Quite. But
it sounds almost like a drug addiction. Like, you're pursuing the high, even though you know the lows are, like, incredibly, you know.
That's what it was like. And then when there was kindness, you know, from both of us as well, like, because... I was unhinged at times and I didn't recognise myself. And there were times that I was wild with rage, you know, and hurt and sadness. And you act out of those things, don't you, in ways that you don't particularly like about yourself. So I have to, you know, I had to own that. But when there was kindness in it, it was like the sun was shining on me and that, you know, I was full of glitter or something, you know, I was, you know, the highs of it were so extreme, but they did not warrant the lows of it. They definitely didn't. And I absolutely know that now. And I think that I knew that at the time as well.
Because I was going to say, because it can't have been like, because I don't know, how did you see the pictures? Was that the first you knew? Was that, did someone tell you, or?
Sean told me.
He told you? Right. Shit.
But he was pushed because it had come out.
Right.
He had no choice at all.
So what, he rung you up and said?
No, I was at Strictly.
Oh my God.
It was just after he had done the Paso Doble of Shame. On the Paso Doble of Shame, and then the following week it was the Virgin Charleston, as I recall.
No touching.
Yeah. I know, jazz hands. No touchy.
Yeah, the jazz hands.
For God's sake, all jazz hands and smiles. Oh, like, guys, are you for real?
Yes. We're all booing at the telly. Oh, me and my kids and my husband are like, oh, he shouldn't be on there, get him off.
Just madness. It's just such a farce, you know. It's like, let's paper this over with glitter and smiles.
Yeah.
Because I guess I'm getting at what point from finding out that thing had happened. And like, because it's like, as you describe it to me, okay, this thing happened, this event happened, and him stalking this woman, but it's not really about that.
It's not about that.
The history of thing. So at what point did you sort of realise this isn't actually about a snog in a street, this is about a bigger relationship and I can get out of it and I will be all right, sort of thing?
It was, I think, of everything to do with this incident in my life. And I think I will always think of everything as before I found out and after I found out, or actually probably before the statement and after the statement.
Your statement.
My statement, because of how I turned it around for myself. But it was one of the most extraordinary moments of my life when I found out about what had happened and about what was going to be on the front page the following day, because he told me, and I've described it as, I had allowed myself to be led, is the right wording, to believe that I was an erratic, very volatile, sort of slightly deranged, manic woman. And when I found out the thing that I thought would have destroyed me, it was a complete oasis of calm. And I just stood there and I heard it and I went, oh. And inside, honestly, I went, Rebecca, you've got this.
Wow.
You've got this.
Wow.
And I honestly just stood there and looked at this bloke and I thought, oh, you're not good enough for me. And you never, ever have been, have you?
Amazing.
And I just looked and I sort of had this slight, I was nodding and I wasn't smiling, but nor did I cry. I just stood and took it and I just went, right, all right. And I swear to you, I mean, I don't know if it sounds like I'm making it up, but I absolutely, in that moment, fundamentally, I was like, you're a scumbag, aren't you? It was really extraordinary. And I'm telling you, Claire and I went to Copenhagen in the summer before he was just about to start Strictly, and we had a huge conversation where I said to her, my worst nightmare, she said, what's the worst that could happen? I said, the worst that could happen is that he has an affair with his partner and it's in the papers and I'm humiliated and all of my family and friends know about it, and suddenly like sex is like brought into my, like my life, like for my mum and dad to see, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and all this stuff.
I end up going to Southeast London with these two pricks and one of them's Australian and they make me tell the whole fucking story sitting on their sofa with cheese prosecco.
What a nightmare.
But then it happened. It was just the total opposite of what I thought that I would, how I thought I would feel and behave. And obviously, like, it was really difficult. The most difficult stuff to deal with was the stuff that subsequently came out in the papers about other affairs, which it did.
Mm. And you didn't know about those?
Oh, I think on some level I definitely did.
Shit.
I think on some level I definitely knew about them all. And, that was really difficult, but it was also very validating, because the thing that in the moment where he told me about Katya and that they were going to be on the front page the next day, there was the sense of, oh, you're just no good. And the sense of, Rebecca, you were right about everything. And if there's one thing that makes me feel empowered, it's knowing that I was bloody right.
Yeah, like that, all those feelings, all the thoughts and all the doubts and all those sort of things and all the lies that you were meant to believe about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the thing. It's one thing to have affairs. And to be honest, people have affairs all the time. Sometimes people fall in love with other people or they fall out of love. And shit, and this is not to belittle what happened, but shit happens.
Agreed.
Right?
No.
But to make... For me, the thing of making you feel like you're crackers,
well,
and it's all in your head, that's a different level of shit.
And it was never, for me, like the whole, to be honest, like the whole kissing thing, like in the street, whatever happened between the pair of them. Like I looked at it instantly. I just went, we were in the car on the way back from the studio and I was Googling it and I saw the picture. So I was like, oh, okay. And the kissing thing was so by the by. It was, and also like the, because I thought that they were having an affair. Like I thought they were, and I didn't want to believe that they were, and I thought they were. I was right about that, but it was more like, okay, if I was right about this, does that mean that you've been covering up stuff by calling me mental? Does that mean that like, actually I'm not? And that was the big deal about it. That was the big deal. And I really just wanted to make it, you know, I just wanted to make it super clear as well that this isn't about cheating. And I don't think it is about cheating for many, many women who are in the same position that I am. Like, cheating is hurtful and hard and stuff, but I'd already felt like in that relationship, I felt like shit about myself anyway. Like, I just felt really crap. Like, and I did, you know, I didn't feel confident in myself. I didn't feel whatever. So, like, it kind of stands to reason that, like, other people would be really attractive because, like, I kind of wasn't that, like, I guess there's not really very much that's sort of sexually alluring about somebody that has no confidence and that's someone that doesn't really, you know, that doesn't really know themselves. And so I kind of was like, yeah, sure, like, whatever. The weird thing about it is still keeping me there and, like, still needing me on some level. And, like, if I try and leave, which I did do, like, needing me so much and asking me to stay and I don't know.
Mm. Yeah.
That's sort of, yeah. So there's so much about it. There's so much that isn't about a snog in the street that was on the front page of the Sun, you know?
Yeah.
No, but that's the tip of the, or, you know, the, what's it called? The straw that broke the camel's back. It was all the other shit. All yeah. the other shit.
The iceberg that broke the camel's back.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's right. what I'm getting at.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But it was, I mean, it's the best thing that could have happened, in a way.
Yeah, because
I would never have found out about it, ever.
But I think you made it yours, with that, because that statement you did, and to be honest, that was the moment which I took an interest, because like I said, I don't really care about Strictly, I don't really care about him, but somehow I saw your statement, and it was so strong, and it wasn't angry, and it wasn't mental.
No.
And it was just you laying out, actually, my side of the story, without rage and bitterness, which you had every right to fucking have, by the way.
Yeah.
But you were just like going, I tell you what, actually, this is what's going on. And it was one of just the most powerful, because usually in these situations, you know, the girlfriend sort of fades away and it's all about being dignified and very quiet.
Oh,
and,
God, yeah, don't that. I know it. Like, fuck everyone was that. Telling me, like, oh, just don't say anything, you know. I got that a lot. I got told not to say anything quite a lot. Like, oh, you're so dignified, you know, at Strictly, everyone saw you on Saturday night, like, filmed in the audience, you know, crying with pride. And I was so proud of him. You know, I was so thrilled for him that he had kind of... taken joy in something that I loved, which is dancing.
Even though he was shit at it.
Mm-hmm. Even though he was shit at it.
Very flat-footed, yes. Point the fucking toe, Sean.
Oh, right.
Anyway,
So you thought, no, I'm going to fucking say something. Absolutely.
I felt as though, you know what, there was... I've been so incredibly lucky and so... amazed and invigorated by the amount of support that I've had, that actually, like, the couple of people that have had something to say about it are sort of quite by the by, because as well, like, as soon as someone did have something to say about it that was negative, like, they get destroyed by all the fierce bitches that are, like, in my corner, which is just amazing. But you know, someone said something which is hilarious, was like, oh, this is just on the back of the hashtag Me Too movement, and I was like, well, yeah.
What?
That's like, so like, why are you saying that in a belittling way? Like, of course it is. Of course, like, I'm emboldened by the fact that people are suddenly going, actually, this is my story and I'm not afraid of it. I think it's really inspiring.
The shame is not on you.
Absolutely, it
isn't
on me.
And I think this is, you know, and I feel so strongly about that it's always the woman who absorbs it. I was like, you know, you're the support team, oh, he's going through a hard time, so you take a step back. And we get that in parenthood where mothers are at home and it's like, well, the, you know, the poor husband's out working, and it's like, no, the poor fucking mum is doing the hard yard.
Yeah.
And it's always about, you know, you bearing that shame.
Absolutely.
And that was so brilliant. And you just fucking...
Well, I wasn't ashamed of anything. And that's what I think was really important. It was like, I don't feel shamed. I don't feel humiliated. Like, I actually really, really want to publicly represent how I actually feel before the Sun tells the world how I feel.
Yeah.
Or, like, before, you know, and there I am, you know, on Saturday in my white dress, like my little white lacy dress from All Saints. And Katia's there, like, in this black leather catsuit. It's the narrative writes itself, that this sort of, like, virgin is sitting in the audience, you know, being the Madonna, and this sort of sex pot is there dancing with my boyfriend, and she snogs him in the street. And actually, like, it would just have been so easy for them to have kind of maneuvered me into this hole that was this kind of, like, exactly that sort of virginal girl next door thing. And I was like, actually, I'm not that. Like, that sounds like I'm like, I'm a slag too.
Yeah.
But, like,
I did it 3 times this morning.
But, like, you know, I was like, actually, no, I'm not any of those things. I'm a fully formed human being, and it's not your job to tell the world who I am.
Yeah.
I'm, I'm intelligent.
And you're not fucking royal. You don't have to sit there and keep a fucking straight.
Well, that was the best thing about it. The best thing about it was that I knew I had. If I wanted to say something, I knew it had to be soon. And then, lo and behold, there comes Sean and Katya's statement publicly. That is in 140 characters or however many there are on Twitter now. I can't keep up, but that says, you know, how very sorry they are. It was all very contrite. It was all very sort of managed. If you like, by the BBC and by their PR teams and stuff like that. And I was like, hang on, I don't have that. I don't have a PR team. I don't have, I've not signed a contract with a big corporation. I'm not making money and I don't have to be careful about my wage slip being in jeopardy. I don't have any of that stuff. I can say what the fuck I want and I will. Yeah. And actually, that's a real opportunity. It's like, you know, I can choose how I'm represented here. Like, and I can be really authentic. In a way that they can't.
Yeah.
They're not allowed. And I am. Because I don't answer to anybody other than myself. And, you know, and I think that's really important. It's really important to look at things like Twitter and social media and say, actually, this can be used for some good, actually. Yeah. I think. I mean, it was a mass... I'm talking about it like I'm, you know, sort of mastermind, like, but obviously it was a huge risk because I honestly, and I mean this honestly, I said to my friends who were sitting there, you know, in the front room with me, when I was about to, you know, when I'd written it, I was like, we have to be really conscious here that this might get about 50 likes from my friendship circle and that this isn't going to have an impact. But regardless of that, I still have to say it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, we're thinking that actually because the Mirror are calling me say or like sending me emails saying, oh, you know, would you be interested in saying something on the front page, you know, and all this stuff. And I'm getting offered lots of money from lots of places to do things. And I was like, actually, you know, I kind of suspected that people were waiting to hear my side of the story. But, you know, I had to really be prepared that that no one would give a shit.
Mm.
And so, if no one was going to give a shit, I had to do it for myself.
It was really scary. It turns out loads of people
gave a massive shit.
Yeah. We give a huge shit, yes. For example.
Yeah.
So now, like, for anyone maybe I'm thinking who's listening to this and thinking, shit, I think I might be in the shit. Like, yeah. I think I might be in this kind of relationship. And it's unlikely that my partner will go on Strictly, get caught snogging in the street, and that be a catalyst for me getting out of this. Like what advice do you have?
I mean, I've had this question a lot because lots of people have come forward prior.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Privately, on social media, actually.
Really?
And yeah, and wanted to talk to me about it and ask me questions. And the answer that I give them, I mean, I'm definitely not qualified to give any kind of proper advice. I can just speak from experience. And that is exactly what I said in the statement, which is tell some really, really, really close friends that you really trust, and be open and honest with them. Because when I started that Sunday after I had left, I went home, I took my shit and literally took the cat and left. And that Sunday when friends started calling me, you know, obviously people aren't gonna, like you say, have that experience where everyone just knows, and so they get this outpouring of support from their friends. Like, my phone, you know, was red hot. Everyone wanted to get in touch with me and tell me that they were thinking of me, and it was amazing. But talking to my friends and actually speaking candidly about it for the first time and being honest with them was just, I mean, it was such a relief.
Mm.
And I don't think I'd ever really understood about, you know, the cliche of a weight being lifted before that point. It was like I was flying, being able to speak to people, and it was a really, really positive experience. And I actually think that there's a lot of dread about telling somebody something or speaking to a mate in that circumstance because of the consequences that might happen, like the what ifs. What if they drag me out of there? What if they do that?
Or what if they don't believe you? Is that a thing?
Yeah, yeah. What if they don't believe you? But I actually think that the don't believe thing, like, I think because of stories, I mean, dare I say it, it sounds like, you know, so grim, me talking about myself in a way that's, like, inspirational. But because of stories like my own story and, like, yeah, so many others being out there, I think that people are actually beginning to really understand that this is a real problem and that this is something that people have to be believed in. So I'm quite hopeful about that.
And everybody believed you, who you told.
Everybody believed me. Everybody believed me. And, like, Sean didn't really know any of my friends. Like, not properly. Like, which is, you know, a bit of a red flag. Anyway, like, he didn't... We took over 5.5 years and he barely knew any of them. And even so, even with them not knowing who he... You know, who he was and knowing him at all, they still believed me. But I think that actually, like... Talking to someone really close to you, to a friend. I mean, a relative is a bit. I would say a friend, because a relative is really different, because they're always going to have your. They're always going to have a history with you, I think, that is going to be kind of blindly positive. Right. And actually, talking to a friend, like, friends know, like, you can be a bit of a dick sometimes in a way that your family, I think, like. Kind of don't want to know the nitty gritties about it. And also, you can talk to you. I don't really talk to my family about things like sex and all that stuff. Like, I can talk to my friends
weird.
About
it's
that.
Weird.
It's too weird. It's too weird. So I would say talk to a friend, talk to a really close friend, because I think that don't anticipate, like, all the difficult stuff about talking to a friend. Like, enjoy the relief of it. It's going to be big. Like, it will feel really big.
And also, I often, you know, and I think we've talked about this a lot on this podcast, is that, you know, especially when you're feeling insecurities about motherhood and whether you're alone and you're the only one feeling these feelings. Mm-hmm. Turns out you're not.
Oh, I mean, I'm proof of that.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
fucking new.
And you're not mental. You're not crazy. You've just been fucked over.
Yeah.
And it's so important. And I think that's the biggest fear, because you start believing, if you keep drip, 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 drip feeding all those nasty things about yourself,
yeah,
then you will believe it.
Of course.
And all that doubt, you know, just rests with you. You're like, oh, I'm not good enough. And that's that control. That's the control I think people are so frightened, because they, you know, and it's that weird mix between love and vulnerability, and then all your self-confidence is completely destroyed, and you're like, oh no, it's fine, and I don't want to rock the boat, and I don't want to be difficult.
It's really difficult, yeah. Isn't it? Like, you're absolutely right, and I think that you just use one of my favorite words, which is vulnerability. And actually, I think that, like, vulnerability is a really, really positive thing, and it's something that should be celebrated.
Yeah.
Because allowing yourself to be vulnerable is the only way that, like, you can really experience love, you know? Like it's the only way that, because... And being proud of your vulnerability is a really nice thing, but when your vulnerability is used against you, it's just such an abusive thing. Mm. Because it's also really fucking easy and, like, just so boring, like, to make someone feel vulnerable, or, like, to someone who is vulnerable, like, to make them feel even more vulnerable. It's like, wow, that's really, you know, revolutionary. Well done.
It's not Machiavelli's greatest strategy.
Exactly.
Feel a bit shit. I'm gonna make you feel a bit more shit,
but I'm gonna use those things about you that you don't really like to make you feel even worse about yourself. Like,
yeah.
Oh, you know, well done, Einstein.
So do you think you'll ever get back together?
One more chance.
Well,
it takes two.
Oh my God.
Christ, yeah. Oh, it's God. It's quite the saga, isn't it?
So how are things now?
That's great. I mean, I'm living my best life.
Living with a drag queen and a cat, to be honest. I'm that sounds my, fucking great.
Yeah. I'm living my absolute best life, you know. It's it's sort of praline truffles for breakfast.
We want to be in your house, Rebecca.
Yeah. It's really great. You know, I feel really, really free. I feel like I can do whatever the shit I want at any given moment. And I can. Like,
have some more Prosecco for starters.
Yeah, cheers. My glass is empty all of a sudden. I don't understand why.
Please give me some more. I mean, I'm not... It's really funny because, like, I'm going out with people at the minute and I'm going on dates and stuff and I'm finding myself going... I'm too busy for this. Like, I don't want to have to compromise all the stuff that I'm really enjoying about my life. Like going to my dance class on a Thursday night, like going to the theatre, like going out with my friends, like on all of these things that I'm really enjoying. I don't want to have to compromise that to like maybe get into another relationship. I'm really enjoying my own company. And so this is like not a thing. And obviously that ambivalence is like catnip, isn't it? I mean, like, oh my God, she doesn't give a fuck about me. Yeah. Shut me.
And are you doing more acting stuff? Are you going
to... Yeah. I'm about to do a TV show, actually. I'm in a drama, which I can't talk about. But
Sean Walsh story.
Yeah, it's a biopic.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
I'm starring in my own biopic.
You play him, obviously.
Yeah, of course. I play a mum of a newborn baby. And I'm actually really excited about doing that because I really want to... say something about the way that new mums are represented on telly. I've got two friends who've just had babies and turns out you can still be really fucking cool and like really really sexy and still have a great life and great social network and be witty and all of these things even though you've got a baby. What a huge deal.
Or you can just stay in and eat fucking biscuits and it's up to you.
Yeah, exactly, but you can still retain your sense of self. And I think that actually, like, I really wanted to make it... I really wanted it to be really important with this character that she wasn't defined by the fact that she was a mum. Mm. And the writer's really on board with that, so we're kind of talking about that quite a lot. It's really cool. I can't... Like, this time last year, I mean, myself and my life was just completely different. Like, it was wildly different to how it is at the moment. And I think that that's, like, I think that's a really important message to get out there, actually. Everything can do a 180 in the best possible way. And it has for me. And I was really, really, really resigned to living that way forever. Mm. Turns out you don't have to, and it's great.
Yeah, and it's that weird survival mode. And I'm sure all listeners can identify, you know, that... You know, everyone's had shit times in their lives. Mm-hmm. And when you're out of it, you're like, how was I living? How was I doing that? Mm-hmm. You know, and you kind of want to go back and shake the old you. Why did you put up with that bullshit?
Why did you do it?
Yeah, it is. It's really hard. And I've had difficulties in my, you know, relationships and difficulties, you know, in lots of parts of my life. And you know, and you do get through it. But yeah, and I'm sure there's listeners going through really hard times at the moment. But it's so fantastic to hear your story. And maybe we can all one day live with drag queens and cats. I mean, that's the dream.
Well, that's going to be the name of the old people's home that I'm going to trademark.
Oh my gosh.
So all the staff are drag queens. Yes. They can do what they like at night, but in the day they have to come and
bring. Hello, gorgeous.
Yes. And perform for us at lunchtime.
That's right. Yes, they've done the show. It's Raining Men. Okay, again. Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Choreograph routines to It's Raining Men. God, that would make getting old just tremendous, wouldn't it?
Right, we'll reserve your bed if you like.
If you would,
I think as we founded it together with you here, I feel like you should have first dibs.
I probably should, yeah.
All right.
Oh, and we'll just smoke and drink, because that's all you can do towards the end, everything else.
Yeah, fuck it.
Maybe this is a step too far, we could tie little ashtrays to the cat's heads.
That's
too weird.
I don't know.
I think anything goes in this home.
Cats and drag queens.
Cats and drag queens. Does
screw like playing bridge, you just want like sequins day and then cocktails day.
That's category it. Is period Barbara Streisand. That's what you want.
Oh, did you know, I found something out about Barbara Streisand the other day, which really, this is going on a massive tangent, but it's always worth talking about. Did you always know about Barbara Streisand?
Please say she had an affair with Sean Walsh.
Good luck to him.
Yeah, that'd almost be good.
Did you know about her underground shopping mall?
What?
What?
Okay. What?
Look it up, everyone. This is a true story. Barbara Streisand has an underground shopping mall so that she can go down there and live her best life. And just, she's got like loads of shops, and obviously she owns all the merch down there, but she's bought it. She's got loads of shops, and she just goes down there, and they employ out of work actors to work in the shops. Huh? I know you're agog, both of you, but this is absolutely true. Please look it up.
What?
Yeah, and I know this because an actor did a show about it off Broadway, because he used to work in like a teddy bear shop that was down there in her underground shopping mall, and she would sort of come in and browse, you know, her own stuff that she owns, and like,
this is like
play the role.
Jackson had his own fairground.
Yeah, it's like Neverland, right? The Neverland Ranch.
But at least that's like a fucking fairground. Like, just everyone, like. Yeah. But wait, so do the out of work actors like work there all the time? I'm going to go on Tuesday. They hire them.
I think she's like puts it in her diary. Like, I'll go shopping that day, and then they all go down.
It's stuff that she's already bought.
So she owns it, of course, because it's under her house. So that she'll go in and, like, you know, just be perusing, you know, these teddy bears, and go, how much is this? And like, and he'll have to go,
Barbara,
that's $59. And she's like, okay. And then like actually parts cash with it. Like at the till and
goes
stuff,
back
into her. But like, it's just the kind of living the fantasy of being like a normal woman. But I'm telling you, this is real. You must look it up. It's been in Harper's Bazaar. This happens.
Harper's Bazaar.
Wow. Yeah,
I know. I have heard of some, like, you know, rich people having like sex dungeons and stuff, but this is a whole new level.
This is definitely what I would have instead of a sex dungeon.
When you say it like that, which would you rather have?
Nice
whips and chains,
yes,
or a very strong branch of John Lewis? What would you rather have unfettered access to?
Take my own private Costa.
Yes. I'd have a Nando's.
Oh, lovely.
Look, turns out she's onto something, ladies. Really?
She's onto something. Yeah, Space NK and a Byron underground. Thanks very much.
We've just described utopia, I think. We've got with cats and drag
queens. Guys, wait! We'll build an underground shopping mall under cats and drag queens!
Oh, God.
Yes! It's and then the drag queens can work in the shops as well.
Oh, my God.
Amazing.
Can you imagine, you know, going downstairs to your underground boots and a man dressed as Beyonce showing where the contact lens solution is? I mean, it's the dream. It's the fucking dream, guys.
Always on
She's
head.
Onto something.
Right.
Oh, Barbara.
Babs.
Well, that's good. That's our old age sorted.
Yes.
Now, We've covered that.
I feel like we're sort of drawing to a close. Now, I know you've listened to the podcast, so you know that we have scummy mummy confessions, right?
Right. I've been thinking about this, and obviously now I've gone blank because I've had 1.5 glasses of Prosecco.
Oh, she's anybody's now.
So I... All right.
Always a good way to start a story.
Okay.
I once murdered a man, okay? I've said it.
So this is a cat mum story. So I once... sometimes you get to the end of, you know, your cat's luxury Lily's Kitchen organic cat food, because I love my cat so much and I love bomb him with things like that just so that he knows that I really care. And I got to the end and I order it from Amazon, and it's such a ball ache because obviously it kind of arrives the next day, and so I didn't really have anything to feed him of an evening. So I ordered a delivery from Nando's, which I ate, and then I just washed off the peri-peri sauce and fed him sort of wet chicken that I had discarded. But
I
really, really like the hot Nando's, and I just wasn't prepared to compromise in that sense
the
cat.
You weren't going lemon pepper.
No, I wasn't going to do that. I wasn't going to go lemon and herb. Like, I'm not a pervert. Like, I can handle it. So so that was actually quite recent. That was sort of definitely within the last 2 days.
Do you let your cat kiss you on the mouth?
No, I don't do that. No,
I'd have had to throw you out.
I find that really, really weird, actually. And actually, Sean used to do that, and I thought it was so creepy. It's like, God,
fucking weirdo.
I mean, I should have known then, shouldn't I? Red flag.
That is one of the classic red flags. They do say that, don't they?
Yeah.
In all the leaflets.
That's it.
If you kiss cats on the mouth,
on the mouth. What the hell are you doing?
Yeah, they have a little symbol with like a man kissing a cat and just an extra.
Good and embarrassing story. I think
I like it a lot.
Yeah, to wash off your extra hot Nando's. I mean,
The image of you rinsing a Nando's under the tap, I think, is very strong visually. Helen, do you have a story?
I'm just trying to think. Oh, there's so many humiliating things that I do. I had a massive pimple on my labia, and that arrived on Valentine's Day, and I was trying to squeeze it in the shower, and I thought, this is not a very romantic thing.
Are you sure it's a pimple? Are you sure it wasn't your clitoris?
It'll be a pimples. Oh. What a nice conversation to be having.
I know. I know. I was just like, because you know, you do your general kind of clean down there. I was just, you know, just cleaning it out. And then I was like,
jet wash.
Yeah.
Hose it down.
That's right. Got a broom, you know, did a few stiff swipes. And then, I was like, oh, that's a bit funny. And then I just like, oh, do I squeeze? I didn't even know what it was. I'm not very familiar.
You definitely squeeze it, because squeezing any spot of any kind on any part of your body is just such an incredible feeling.
It's a wonderful event, really.
Yeah.
I was
so it's almost a treat.
I know.
Happy to find one there.
Happy St. Valentine's Day to me. Very, very nice. Do you know, I found out an interesting fact today, because I'm doing a little side hustle podcast project on body image, and I found out that your clitoris keeps growing.
What?
Like,
what?
Yes, it's a science.
Wait a minute. My grandmother lived to be 100. It must have been the size of a face.
Exactly. What are you talking about? Right. Like your ears and your nose, your clitoris keeps growing. And so, yes, I read on the internet.
On the internet that vaccinations give you autism. They don't, everyone, just to be clear.
No, I've read it on several websites that your clitoris gets bigger, and by the time you're older, it's 2.5 times it was when it began.
What do you mean older? What, like 50? Like 75?
Yeah. And so that's why they said women reach their sexual peak much later in life. That's why they get a bit horny.
Yeah, because it's easier for blokes to find it.
Yeah.
Fuck's sake.
You're carrying a fucking Satsuma down there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And so you're meant to have better orgasms when you're older, and lots of...
Wow. If we have any older listeners listening...
With their massive clitoris.
With your big clitoris.
If your clitoris has swelled to the size of a grapefruit, please do write in. Send us a picture. So I was thinking about imagine if you had, do you get more than one clitoris? Like, did they start? I don't know why I'm opening my legs.
You were opening your legs.
She just did like a bird spread. But that's what she'll have to do later in life with her massive, massive big knob.
Yeah, it's massive.
I know, exactly.
Yeah. Brilliant. Like a big shiny conker. Absolutely cannot wait.
Like a little chopper chop.
Oh, yes. Yeah, like a chopper chop.
To be sitting there in our drag queen home with our massive clitorises.
Cats dragged and
living our best life with cats with ashtrays on their heads wandering around everywhere.
You know how you have like massage chairs, have a hole for your face. We're gonna have armchairs.
Shut up!
With like just a little clit hole in the middle. You just slot it through there. Dangles down. Christ. Like a stalactite. What can I say? I did not know that fact. Did you know that fact, Rebecca?
Absolutely not. I've learned something tonight, haven't I?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's all very well, you know, talking about, you know, how to get out of an abusive relationship. But that's the real shit.
Yeah, exactly.
This is
right.
Real talk.
Yeah. This is the takeaway,
this
really.
Is what people really understand.
You just want to hear about Barbara Streisand's undercrown male, a massive clit.
This is it. This is why I love this podcast. I stop caring about anyone else fucking thinks about it.
Oh my God, that's this right.
We've filled all the holes, that's what I'm saying. We've filled all the holes.
I've had a really good time.
Hysterical.
I feel like half an hour ago I was like really moved and having this really intense experience with you.
Yes,
like, this woman's amazing, and having all these thoughts about how amazing you are, and now here we are just talking about fucking cats and clits.
Yeah.
That's the good stuff, isn't it?
Yes.
It's
the good shit.
I can't thank you enough for coming on. And thank you for talking about all that shit, because it must be, you know, is it difficult? Maybe it's not, I don't know.
Do you know what, actually? I think that a lot of people were quite prepared to be quite sort of sympathetic and, you know, head cocked to one side and just sort of, you know, nod solemnly when I talk about things. But actually, I find it really interesting to talk about it and to hear other people's takes on it. And I'm, you know, like we were saying, like, I'm certainly not ashamed of it. I'm certainly, you know, not humiliated by it. I think that it's really, think it's really cool to talk about these things in like a really candid way and a really grown up way as well.
Well,
what bad can come of it, you know? She says.
And there is one grown up on this sofa, and it is you. So thank you. Thank you for being that grown up next to these pathetic children with their filth and their nonsense.
I think you're very cool grown ups, actually.
Oh. I think you've had too much Prosecco.
Maybe.
No, you've been an amazing guest. Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
It's been great.
And people, where can people find The Trowel, your beauty blog?
Oh, so it's thetrowel.co.uk.
Okay. And where can we follow you?
On Instagram and Twitter at Bex Humps.
Is that Bex, B-E-C-K-S?
B-E-C-K-S, H-U-M-P-S.
And you can follow us at Scummy Mummies.
That's right. And please rate, review and subscribe to the podcast. And our book, Ellie.
Still in print, mate.
Still in print.
Woo!
As the time of recording. And we are touring all over the fucking shop, aren't we, Ellie?
All over. And we're going to...
Edinburgh!
Yes. Are you trying to do a Scottish accent? Edinburgh.
Cool.
Well, brilliant. Thanks again, Rebecca. And thank you very much for listening.
Hooray!
Until next time.
Bye-bye!
Bye!
And I was listening to Radio 4, just slightly drifting off to sleep. And there was you. There was you. There were you. How did we say it? I could hear you.
There you were.
There you were. Oh, my God. I had 3 sips of Prosecco.
There was you.
There she was on the radio. There was you. You was... Were you?
I was there.
Were you there? Was you?
You was. You was there. Talking about fucking charcoal.
Activated charcoal.
It has to be activated. Yeah. Yes. I mean, it's all very sensitive.
How do you activate a charcoal, Rebecca? God.
It's Friday night.
I'm sorry.
Get into this. This is science.
Let's not go there.
But did you know that apparently they use charcoal in A&E? This is something that one of the scientists was talking about when she was a doctor, a junior doctor. They used to use charcoal, activated charcoal in A&E for people who had alcohol poisoning to draw the moisture or to draw like the excess moisture out of them. Like they used to pump people with the stuff. So actually, it kind of goes back to... it draws stuff out of you. So actually it does have a function in that sense. So it's not all bollocks. Like activated charcoal does...
Actual doctors have used it on alcoholics.
Actual doctors have used it on alcoholics.
Can it extract your bitterness and rage? Because I think a lot of mums could use that.
Oh my God, take your charcoal, something. Love. Calm down.
Some things that even charcoal won't do.
It's not fucking magic.
Oh, wow.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.